Spirit, would you take these words to speak to us through them, I ask in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You may be seated. Aldous Huxley, a famous philosopher in the past, was late for a meeting in Dublin, Ireland, and so he ran out and he jumped in a cab real quick and he said, "Quick, drive fast." And so the cabbie took off like a bullet. And as they were driving, Huxley said to the cabbie, "Do you know where you're going?" The cabbie said, "No, but I'm driving fast." A lot of people are kind of going through this world in a real hurry, kind of rushing around, and not really knowing where they're going. Just kind of going through the motions, just kind of doing their thing each day and not really thinking about where they're headed. Certainly our lessons today are a reflection of where we're headed. One of the things that I talked about last week was the importance of being ready for the coming of Christ. And I shared the importance of not only being ready spiritually and emotionally, but also being ready by the things that we do. Today, our lesson from 1 Thessalonians really talks about the fact that the Lord is going to come as a thief in the night. As I mentioned last week, when the Lord comes back, the church will be caught up in the air to meet him in the air in what we call the rapture. And certainly, Paul gives us this little nugget in our second lesson from Thessalonians today when he says that the church, that God did not appoint us, the church, to suffer wrath. So that could very well mean that the wrath of God being poured out during the last days, during the tribulation and things like that, will mean that the church will not be subject to those wraths that will be poured out. We read about in Revelation and in Matthew chapter 24 and 25. This means also in part that Christians are to be ready by the things that they do for the kingdom of God. The talents that God has given us, for example. This parable in our gospel lesson today is often called the parable of the talents. Now the word talents in the Old Testament or the New Testament refers to money. And so this was all about the use of one's money in the right sort of way. And so when we think about the parable of the talents, we often think about our abilities, our gifts, and the things that we're able to do. But in this context, it was talking certainly about the money that they were using. And the newer translations use the word, for example, like bags of gold, so that we can relate more with the idea of a talent than just thinking about it in terms of a gift or an ability that we have to use. And so we read about in this parable this morning that one of the persons who received one bag of gold or one talent went out and buried that in the ground. He buried his master's money in the ground. He didn't realize, perhaps, that this using this talent in the way that he should have used it. He had the capability and the possibility of increasing the money that he had been given 100-fold. Had he been willing to risk, to venture, to act with courage, he could have entered into the joy that was promised to these other two that had received the 5 and the 10. But he preferred safety. He was afraid, and which in the gospel is tantamount to having a lack of faith. The master in the parable complimented the other two servants on what they had done with his property by saying to them, "You have been faithful." Today we live in a world and a church which seems to have turned this gospel lesson upside down. We make virtue out of caution. We sympathize with folks who don't rock the boat. We extol the virtues of clergy who sit on the sidelines who sit on the fence, unwilling to take a stand on life and death issues, on issues of biblical doctrine. This unwillingness is because of the fear of offending their masters. We're afraid of fearlessness, for to us that often looks like recklessness. This does not just apply to how we use our money, whether we hoard it or generously use it to help God's kingdom or to help others. Our insistent desire is to have security in and from the world rather than to try to find our security in and from our Lord Jesus Christ. And when we seek our security, when we seek our lack of fear from the things of this world, we often find that we are let down. We often find that that is also the genesis of fear. This parable also applies to the talents we have in our lives, to the gifts and the abilities that God has given to us. When I was growing up, I was very shy. I didn't like to speak in front of people. The only way I could do that was to get involved in theater, in drama. And so I minored in theater in college, and hoping that that would help to cure my shyness. But it really never did so, because I was always playing a character. I was always playing a role. And so in doing that, I could be someone else. I didn't have to be myself. But it wasn't until I came to a living relationship with Jesus Christ, when I was filled with the Holy Spirit, that I was able then to get up in front of people and to speak like I'm doing this morning. Certainly, many people in the church today are using their gifts and their talents in the way that God wants them to do so, for the benefit of His kingdom, for the blessing of His people, and not only for the blessing of His people in the church, but also those outside of the church. There was a guy who came to his pastor one time, and he said, "Pastor, I only have one gift." His pastor said, "What is that?" And the guy said, "Well, I have a gift of criticism." And the pastor was wise and said to him, "Well, you know, in that parable of the talents, where the guy with one talent buried it in the ground, well, maybe that's what you should do with your talent as well." Well, there are some talents we might want to refrain from using in our lives, but there are also many talents that can benefit the kingdom of God. As we use our talents and our gifts or our natural abilities for God and His purposes, we can make a difference in the lives of many people. This parable speaks also about a person taking responsibility and following through with the responsibility that they've taken on. If a person in the church, for example, takes on a particular ministry or a particular role or does something particularly well, oftentimes they are looked at as someone who can handle responsibility. And so quite often they're asked to do more than that, to do more things. And I'm convinced that there are many people in the church that don't get involved in anything because they're afraid that if they do something well, they'll be asked to do something else. That's why some people may be afraid to serve on the vestry, because they'll be asked to do something more. And in fact, God may at times ask us to do something more. But that's the key, is God asking us to do that which is more. Sometimes we do more in the church because we feel guilty if we don't. That's either a self-imposed guilt or maybe a guilt that someone else puts upon us. But ultimately, we want to do those things that God asks us to do, God calls us to do. Sometimes we do those things and we don't respond to something because we might say, "Well, God didn't call me to do that," or "God, I didn't hear God tell me to do this or that." But in reality, what we're saying is, "I didn't really hear from God one way or the other. I'm just going to say I don't want to do this." Sometimes we need to listen more to God and ask Him, "What do you want us to do? What do you want me to do in your kingdom? What do you want me to do in your church? What do you want me to do in serving and helping others?" When we give our money to the Lord through the church, we realize that, like the parable, we're investing it in a way that can bring back more for the kingdom of God. We just might be affecting the life of someone, not only for time, but also for eternity. Linda was on vacation playing the slot machine. She'd never been to a casino before. And so she asked one of the helpers there at the casino how to work the slot machines. And so he showed her how to put the dollar bills in the machine and how to punch the buttons and pull the arm. And so she asked the helper there, "And where does the money come out?" The guy points across the casino and says, "Usually it comes out from the ATM machine over there in the corner." Well, I don't know how many of you have ever been to a casino. Don't raise your hands, but sometimes we really don't realize that when we're investing in the kingdom of God, we're really making something that can make a difference in this world. And many people try to invest in things in this world that really don't make an ultimate difference. They start feeding money into the slot machines of this world, and well, it happens every once in a while where they win something. Most casinos realize that If people don't go away with less than what they came in with, then they're going to be out of business. The world is full of people feeding money into their money, their time, their talents, and their lives into the slot machine that never pays off. Jesus said, if you invest in my kingdom, the payoff will be eternal. The day of the Lord is coming, as God says through the prophet Zephaniah in our first lesson today. And Jesus is saying to us, I believe, that as we use our gifts, as we use our talents, as we use our money for his kingdom and for the benefit of others, then we'll be ready for his return when he comes back again. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that you have reminded us that all things that we have come from you. And as we use those things for your kingdom and for your glory, then ultimately it benefits not only ourselves, but it benefits others. Lord, we ask that you would help us to be good stewards of that which you've given us, whether it be the money that you've given to us, or whether it be the gifts and the talents that you've endowed us with. All those things are things that come from you. Lord, help us to use those things for your honor and glory. And help us to make a difference in this world while there's still time. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.